The whole buffet right there in front of him. Amen. So I was sitting here as the missionary spoke about Jordan, and then I was sitting as the first thought, I am so old. These guys look like kids, man. I am just really getting on down the road. And then he got up and he turned to that passage and preached about that man with that bean patch. And I just want to say just a word to all you young people and young preachers and young workers for the Lord. I started a church, planted a church when I was 21 years old and single. And a year into that thing, it was growing, it was established, and I was in over my head, turned it over to another man, started another church. I was 24, and then the church where I am now is 28 years old, and we started that church, and all three of those working a full-time job and eating more meals behind the steering wheel than at the dinner table, and you know about that. And so I'd never been anywhere else to preach. I didn't know any other preachers. I spent one semester at Bible school, and they're the ones that sent me up to start the church. But I would sit, Brother Lewis been preaching to us about prayer. I would sit at night at a table, and I had a globe back when the earth was round. I had a globe on the table. And I had an atlas. America was flat in those days. All the states were flat. But this is the truth, brother. I would put my hands on Alabama, and I would put my hands on Alaska, and I'd put my hands on Arkansas, and I'd put my hands on Arizona. I'd go through that entire atlas, and I'd pray, God, let me reach somebody for Jesus in this state, please. And then I'd take that globe, and I'd just point to one country after another. I'd pray, God, let me reach somebody in this country. And I sat down. Several years ago now, this before internet, before you could do it through all this online going everywhere, and God had answered a young kid's prayers. I still had that atlas with dots all over all 50 states. Amen. Of people that had written and said they'd come to know Jesus Christ. Amen. through and 182 countries around the world.
Praise.
That's God answering a kid's prayers.
Amen.
So anyway, I got this call from a man. He said, a boy in my church gave me a cassette tape with you preaching on it. If you'll come to Michigan, I'll preach at our fellowship meeting. We got in a car, my wife and two little children. We didn't know a soul outside of our church. We got in a car that shouldn't have driven to Georgia and drove from Florida to Michigan, slept in the car on the way back. We didn't have money for a motel room. And I got up there to that meeting that day, and I preached on that man defending that hill of beans. And when he opened that passage, it just brought back to my mind. And from that day, preaching that one sermon that one day, I've been on the road almost full time ever since. 30 plus years, all from that one sermon that one day. And we got up, preached that sermon. I thought, I was that young one time and preached from that passage and what God has done. And I'm just telling you, young people, I don't understand. Well, I guess I do. But people say, you know, you've given up all this for the Lord and you can't do what the thing. I hear people say all the time, you know, you can't just do what you want to do if you get saved. I have been doing what I want to do since I got saved. This is what I want to do. I don't want to do that. I want to do this.
Amen.
The Lord hasn't taken life away from me and left me with this.
Amen. Come on,
yeah, okay? I mean, I haven't been doing this all my life. I was in the world and enjoying it. I'm just being honest with you. I didn't want to get saved because the Christians I knew were not enjoying it.
Yeah. Yeah.
They had to do it. They wanted to do what I was doing, but they had to go to church. And so when I got saved, I just went to witness to all my friends. I told them, I said, if I don't have a better time living as a Christian than I've had with you, I'll be back. I'm not going to waste my life on something that's just miserable. And I haven't been back.
Amen.
Haven't been back. So if you're growing up in church and you got some ideas, well, I wonder what's out there. I've been out there and I've been in here. And this is better.
Amen.
This is better. And what God can do with your life, you couldn't even imagine how God would answer your prayers if you just surrender to Him as a young man and see what He'll do. He'll take you all over the world. He'll take you to meet all kinds of people all kinds of places, and without any sorrow and regrets about it.
Amen.
No shame and all that. So praise the Lord. God's really good to us, and it just blessed my heart when he turned to that passage. Amen.
Amen.
It's a joy, really a joy. Your Sunday school class, it's just one little bean patch.
Yeah.
But the devil wants it just because it belongs to God.
Yes, that's right.
Don't let him have it.
Amen.
Your living room, it's just one house in the whole state of Pennsylvania. But if Jesus Christ is honored there, the devil wants it.
That's right.
Don't let him have it. Don't give him your living room.
Come on.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's a big deal to God.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. All right, Mark chapter. I won't preach that sermon again. Brother Andy's already re-preached it. Mark chapter. How do you pick your favorite sermon? This is my favorite sermon right now.
Amen.
Out of the New Testament. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 21, we're going to read down through verse number 43, Mark 5, 21, 43. I know it's a long passage, but this is a unique portion of Scripture for this reason. If I'm not mistaken, it's the only account in the Bible where the record of a miracle has the record of another miracle placed in the middle of the record of the miracle. We have in this story, we have the healing of Jairus' daughter, but we don't then shift to the healing of the woman with the issue of blood. The healing with the woman with the issue of blood takes place in the middle of the story of Jesus healing Jairus' daughter. And I believe that what we have here, and if you don't agree with me in 45 minutes from now, however long it takes, if you don't agree with me, you can go home, have a good time, enjoy the blessings of the Lord, and just get on with your life. You don't have to agree with everything I say. You can be wrong. You're entitled to that. So, no, but here's what I believe. I believe these verses present to us in this short window or picture the entire Bible, the entire record of God's dealings with man, past, present, and future. I don't know if we can pull that off or not, but we're going to give it a shot. So the Bible says here, in verse number 21, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto that side, that much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him. And much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. So let's stop there. Heavenly Father, help us tonight, please. Help me to speak the truth in the way you'd have it spoken. And help us, God, fall in love a little bit more with your word and your son, we pray in Jesus' name and amen.
Amen.
Jairus, ruler of the synagogue, he is obviously a Jew. And this Jew has a child who is sick. If you read the Old Testament law that God gave to Israel and to no one else, God promised the nation of Israel, if they would obey the covenant statutes and the laws that he gave them, they would have no diseases and no sicknesses in their nation. Every person Jesus had to heal was a rebuke. Every person that had to come to Jesus for cleansing of their leprosy, sight for their blindness, opening their deaf ears, it was a testimony that the nation was in rebellion against God and was not living in accord with his commandments.
Right.
Now the TV preachers have stolen those verses and turned people against God in our generation by offering perfect health and healing to people who were never entitled to it. But God's chosen people were to be free from diseases and plagues if they would keep his commandments and obey his laws, and they didn't do it. So here is a man who recognizes, I am in a bad way. My child is in a bad way because we have not kept our law. We have not kept covenant with our God. I need help. Mm-hmm. He didn't go to the synagogue. He didn't go to the temple. He didn't go to the high priest. He didn't go to, as we heard this morning, to Sadducees or Pharisees or scribes. He was bold enough to go to Jesus.
Amen.
And this man knew that Jesus can do for me what my religion cannot do for me.
Yes.
Jesus can do for me what my offerings and my sacrifices cannot do for me. And he's like the last great look at the Old Testament, if you will. Throughout your Old Testament, you don't find anyone set forth as a hero of the faith because of the sacrifices they offered, because of the feast days that they kept, because of the ordinances that they observed. You find people out of apostasy and out of rebellion and out of bondage and captivity saying, I need the Lord.
Amen.
I don't need this religion, I need the Lord.
Yeah.
And though it's a God-given religion, it was not given for the saving of souls. It was given for the governing of a people in a land that God would give them. And they made the mistake of thinking, Abraham's my father.
Yeah.
Well, there's a man who had Abraham to his father who's burning in hell in Luke chapter 16.
Yeah, that's right.
Jesus rebuked the leaders of the nation because they said, we don't need you. We have Abraham to our father.
Yeah.
Well, this man, Jairus, Abraham is his father. Jairus' child, Abraham is his father. But there is nothing in the Abrahamic covenant, there's nothing in the Mosaic law that's going to keep this boy from dying. And so like Daniel, like Isaiah, like David, like so many men in the Old Testament, you realize when they rose above sin, death, hell, and the grave was when they put faith in the Lord,
Amen.
Not faith in their obedience to the Lord's commandments and statutes. I'm not calling for disobedience. I'm telling you, if you put obedience before faith, you're going to miss salvation.
Yeah, right.
If you put serving God ahead of trusting God, you're going to miss salvation.
That's right.
So this man, a member of the God-given religion, living in the promised land, has a problem that his religion and his land can't solve.
Yeah.
And he comes to Jesus for help.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good.
As he's trying to get Jesus back to his house to keep his daughter from dying, the story is interrupted. The Bible says in verse number 25, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things and many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Now, skip ahead just for a moment to verse number 42. Straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. So here's what we have. We have a woman bursting onto the scene. She has been dying as long as Jairus' daughter has been alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
This little girl's birth coincides with the onset of this long, slow, progressive death on the part of this woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let me step back and tell you where we're going here. Your Bible, this is a big book.
Mm-hmm.
This is a really big book. The first 11 chapters of your Bible concern the entire human race.
Yes, that's right.
And here's what your ancestors, my ancestors, your forefathers, my forefathers, unless one of you tonight happens to be of Jewish lineage, we are Gentiles. The Bible calls us heathen. The Bible calls us the islands. The Bible calls us the nations and calls Israel the people.
Yes.
They're the people, we're not.
Yeah.
Okay, so for 11 chapters, God is dealing with all of our ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what we know about him. He kicked us out of a garden. He drowned us in a flood. He confounded our languages at Babel and scattered us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And listen, he hasn't spoken to us since until Jesus Christ shows up. I know that's hard to wrap your mind around, because you think, well, everybody had the Old Testament and then Jesus came and everybody has the New Testament. Listen, God took one people, starting in Genesis 12, Abraham.
Yeah.
And the rest of your Bible, from Genesis chapter 12 to the cross of Calvary, is not about your ancestors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's about one family.
Right. Yeah.
Hebrews, Jews, Israelites, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He took them out into Egypt to populate them so they could be this nation. He brings them out of Egypt into the wilderness and leaves them there 40 years. Then he puts them in a promised land and says, don't marry them. Eat weird food so they won't invite you to supper. Dress funny so they won't hang out with you. He isolated that people. And the only thing you read in your Bible about any other nation for all of this time in your Bible is if they happen to invade Israel or trade with Israel, or some queen of Sheba somewhere came up to see Solomon. This, all this in your Bible is not your ancestors. When God gave the law, he gave it to one people. Yeah. It wasn't you. Our people say, well, you know, I used to be under the law. Now I'm not. You were never under the law.
Yeah, that's right.
If you're a Gentile, you were never required to keep the law. Good thing you didn't have it. Now stay with me. So the reason your ancestors worshiped trees and rocks and birds and the wind is because those things didn't kill them. Look, I'm just being fair with you. The real true living God of the Bible to a Gentile is pretty scary. He's frightening. What do we know about him? The flood. What do we know about the garden? What do we know about it? The Tower of Babel. So when you turn to Romans, Gentiles, chapter 1, here's what God requires. You have to believe there's a creator, and you have to fear him. And if you start there, he will lead you to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But that's where our ancestors start.
That's good. Yeah.
And that's why people aren't getting saved too much anymore, because we're not preaching about hell and an angry God and the wrath of God and the holiness of God. And people aren't afraid of God.
Yeah, come on.
Well, if you take the fear of God away from Gentiles, heathen, us.
Yeah, come on.
You're not going to. So anyway, here's why I said all that. This woman is dying. She's tried everything available to her, and it's only made her worse.
That's right.
You know what that is? That's your ancestors for 4,000 years.
Yeah.
Every religion they tried ended up with more murder, more violence, more death, more perversion, more confusion.
Yes.
Amen. You take the Bible out of the schools, what fills the void?
Yeah.
You take preaching out of America, what fills the void? We just get worse.
Yeah, that's right.
We don't have any connection to God to fall back upon. Mm-hmm. And so this woman, she's dying, she's trying everything. We tried the Buddha God, we tried the moon God, we tried the rock God, and nothing helped. Nothing helped your ancestors. We know, listen, in the depths of our heart, and I'm not justifying this, our ancestors, here's what they thought. Let's offer a virgin in the fire, over the cliff. Let's sacrifice a virgin to our God. Why would you do that? Why not the town drunk? Because somehow, instinctively, you know, well, we can't offer that guy. He's no good. Let's offer her. Well, you still get floods and you still get famines and you still get wars. So where do they end up? Offering babies to Molech. Why? Well, maybe a baby's clean enough. Maybe a baby's pure enough and holy. Here's what I'm telling you. I'm not justifying it. I'm just saying your ancestors, our ancestors, didn't know how to get to God.
That's right.
If they would fear him and seek him, he would honor that.
Amen.
But that's as far as it went.
Right.
Now, why do I say that? Well, look at this woman. The Bible says when she had heard of Jesus. See that verse 27? She'd heard of Jesus. She hadn't been instructed. She hadn't been taught. She wasn't a disciple. She hadn't been through catechism. She didn't grow up in a synagogue. She hadn't heard the law of Moses read all her life. She just heard of Jesus. And she came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. You know where that is in the Bible? Nowhere. You know what verse says, touch his garment, you'll be healed? There isn't one. Where'd she get that? She just made it up. She just thought it in her heart. And you know something? Jesus Christ granted her healing because she put faith and trust in him through all of her centuries and centuries and centuries of ignorance. She just came to him the best she knew how and laid hold upon his garment because she knew she didn't have any other hope.
Amen. That's right.
You know what that is? That's a picture of the people sitting in this room tonight.
Amen. That's good. Amen.
Listen to me. Please do not think that I am finding fault with what I'm about to say. You couldn't find altar call in the Bible if you tried all night. You couldn't find a sinner's prayer in the Bible if you tried all night. You couldn't find kneeling, and you couldn't find prayer. You understand what I'm saying? Most of us did something when we came to Christ that a preacher told us to do because it worked for him. And here you are tonight saved because you put your faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not because of the procedure or the process or the method or the tract that you read opposed to that tract. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, God in his mercy,
Amen.
God in his grace,
yes.
said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out.
Amen.
That's what he said. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. And he took all this doctrine and all these truths and all this teaching and all these wonderful things in the Bible that we think are every word of God is pure and important.
Yes.
And the Lord said, I'll tell you what, if you'll believe Christ died and was buried and rose again and you'll call on him, I'll save you.
Amen. Amen.
If you're kneeling, not kneeling, crying, not
Amen.
Crying,
yeah.
remember all your sins, don't remember all your sins.
Yeah.
Feel great the next day, don't know what happened to you the next
Amen.
Day. I will save you if you'll come to me.
Yeah, that's good.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We have Sunday school, it's not in the Bible. We have bus routes, they're not in the Bible. We have an evening service. I don't know if that's in the Bible or not. We have a midweek service. I don't know if that's in the Bible or not. You say, why do you do those things? Well, we just want to spend time with each other and hear preaching and learn the Word of God.
Amen. Amen.
We're just doing the best we know how. Mm-hmm. See, so, well, is he against? I'm for everything. I'm against everything. It just depends on how I'm feeling at that day and time. What I'm telling you is this woman came to Jesus believing in her heart that he could do for her what everything else she had tried for 12 long years couldn't do for her. And she just added that whole hem of his garment thing. And the Lord said, that's okay, you came. I got all these Pharisees, they can dot their I's and cross their T's, and these people know their jots and their tittles, and these people argue about whether or not you can get healed on the Sabbath day or you can eat corn on the Sabbath day. And here's a woman that just wanted my help. And believe that I could help her, and I'm going to save her.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I used to go to these meetings, and they'd have this song. I don't know if you've been to one. It was on a Monday, and all the people got saved on Monday, stood up. It was on a Tuesday. I didn't know when I got saved I had to remember what day of the week it was. You know what? I didn't. It's not in the Bible.
Yeah, yeah.
People want to argue about, did you do it this way? Did you do it that way? I'm just telling you, this woman put her faith in Jesus Christ, and he honored that faith.
Amen.
You know what she is? She is a picture of the New Testament church. She's a picture of us.
Amen.
We had 50 people get up here and testify tonight. You'd have 50 different ways to get saved, but they would all end with, I trusted Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
And so we're not going to argue about which of the 50 ways is the right one. Jesus.
Yeah.
Whatever steps you took to get to the door, he's the door.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Yes.
All right. Now that we got everybody, I don't know if I agree with this guy or not. Well, it'll get worse before it gets better. Verse 29, straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Now, here's the second thing I see about this woman. She put her faith in Jesus Christ, though she really doesn't know what she's doing. The second thing is she knows something's happened inside.
Amen.
Before anything changes on the outside, she knows something has happened on the inside.
That's good.
Praise the Lord. Now tonight, listen, tonight, I've been saved since 1976. I've been preaching since 1977. I've tried to study this Bible pretty much every day of my life. I find it a challenge to talk to a raw, is that a fair word? A totally biblically illiterate, unsaved person, I have to be careful, because I start talking about redemption and justification and the blood atonement, and the guy's looking at me like I'm speaking a foreign language. I didn't know any of that stuff when I got saved. You didn't know any of that stuff when you got saved. You couldn't have, okay, well, here's a brother. He called on the Lord Friday night on visitation. Brother, stand up here and give us your testimony. Well, I just want to thank God that Christ was a propitiation for my sins, not for mine only, but for the sins of the whole world. And I just want you to know that I have redemption through it. You didn't know any of that. You just knew something inside you was about to break, and now it wasn't broken anymore. And something was crushing the life out of you from the inside, and that burden was gone. Praise the Lord. That's your salvation. We try to make it so intellectual. Look, teach that in your Sunday night services. Teach that in your Bible institutes. But don't confuse lost people by adding 25 doctrines to the gospel.
Yeah. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. So anyway, here's this really interesting. The Bible says, verse number 30, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him. There's a lot of miracles in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know why I think this one's a picture of the New Testament church? Something, virtue, righteousness, holiness, goodness, purity went out of Jesus and into this woman.
Amen. Praise God.
That didn't happen when the 10 lepers were cleansed. That didn't happen when Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house. That didn't happen when that man tried to get in the pool of the water. You understand? This something happened here.
Amen.
Where what Jesus was, his character, went from inside him to inside her in a moment of time. Yeah. She didn't ask for it. She didn't know it was there to request. She didn't pray through. She didn't fast. The moment
Amen.
She came to Jesus, and the moment Jesus met her need, he also put what he was inside of her.
Amen.
That's an amazing thing.
Yeah.
You know what happened the day you got saved and you didn't know it unless you grew up in Sunday school? The Holy Ghost of God came to live inside
Amen.
You. You know what happened to you when you got saved, and depending on what kind of church you were in, you might not have known it for a year, 5 years, 10 years. The very Holy Ghost of God that is love and joy and peace and long-suffering
Amen.
And goodness and meekness and faith and temperance, he took root inside you and began growing and producing fruit
Amen.
You didn't even know about.
Yeah. Praise God.
It's an amazing thing.
Yeah.
I didn't just get saved the day I got saved. I got Christ virtue from him into me.
Amen.
That's amazing.
Amen.
Well, that's this woman here. She's a picture of what happened to you. And so the Bible says Jesus turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee. Sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. Now this is really great. This is really great. And I heard somebody got saved here just a week or so ago. Somebody got saved a month or two ago. If you're a new Christian, it's an amazing thing. All these years I've been saved, it still amazes me. Jesus Christ is thronged by a multitude. He is surrounded by a multitude of people. They are pressing him from every direction, making demands on him. But when this woman comes to him by faith, he stops everything he's doing to enter into a relationship with her.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
It's really incredible. So the morning I got saved, Jesus Christ is the head of the church.
Yes.
The morning I got saved, he's the Alpha, the Omega. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. He holds all things together by the word of his power. The psalmist said he feeds the birds and the beasts and the animals. He's running the entire universe.
Yeah, that's right.
And the morning I called out to him for salvation, he put everything he was doing on hold to deal with me.
Amen.
Isn't that incredible?
Yes, yes. Praise
this multitude is thronging Jesus. And he's like, oh, we're just going to have to stop all this.
Come here, lady. Come here.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
That we're not talking about religion here.
Yeah.
We're talking about the creator of the heaven and the earth, counting your soul, your life of such value,
yes,
that he would suspend everything else he is doing to enter into a relationship with you because you desired what he desired, and that's that the two of you be friends. That's really amazing.
Yes.
That's not how it worked in the Old Testament. You got this national thing between Israel and God, and you got these Gentiles, and maybe they come to God, maybe they don't. But every now and then, somebody would pop up and just put faith in the Lord. That's what Hebrews 11 is all about.
Yeah.
By faith, Joshua. By faith, Noah. By faith. And that's this woman. But here we are. And his virtue comes out. He starts this relationship. And the Bible says, verse 33, the woman, fearing, trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Mm-hmm. He said to her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. You know what happened after she got to Jesus, after he healed her, after he did something inside her, after he gave her virtue? She began to have revealed to her the things that she had done.
Yeah.
Which means she couldn't possibly come and confess all those things before he met her need. So you got to confess all your sins to get saved. Well, I got news for you. Till you start reading this Bible as a saved person, you don't even know what all your sins are.
Yeah.
Then you start going to some camp meetings, you find out there's some sins that aren't even in the Bible. plenty of those too. So here's what happens. She is saved by grace through faith, though her faith is really imperfect.
Yeah, that's right.
And only then does she begin to realize all that she's done. But as she confesses the things that she's done to the Lord, as they start this relationship, what does he do? Peace, 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 peace. Praise God. You don't get your life right and then get saved, but if you get saved, the Lord will get your life right.
Amen. That's true.
Praise the Lord. What a picture she is of you and of me, of the church. And so watch what happens here. He says, verse number 34, he said to her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came the ruler of the synagogue's house, from the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain which said, thy daughter, well, wait a minute. Where'd she go? She just disappeared. She just vanished like she was never there. And we go right back to the story of Jairus and his daughter.
Right. Yeah.
You always got this Bible? Israel, 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 right. Israel, Israel. Salvation,
yeah,
by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
New Testament church. And then you turn the page and we just disappear.
Amen.
We're just gone.
Yeah.
We're just gone like we were never here.
Amen.
And the Bible picks up the story of that Jew like he never left it off.
Yeah.
See, these people think God's through with Israel. They don't read the Bible.
Amen.
These people think the church replaced Israel. They don't read the Bible. If they read Mark chapter 5, they'd know he's not done with Jairus.
Yeah.
He just had to deal with that woman on the way to Jairus' house.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, look at Mark chapter 5. There they are. These glasses get away from me. Come back to Mark chapter 5. So let's see what happens here. The woman's gone. She disappears. And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter's dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? So let me just, I'm not trying to leave anybody out because I know some of you new Christians, but here's what's going to happen. Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, rose again. He began to form a body called the church.
Amen.
Everyone saved, born again, 1 Corinthians 12, you're placed in the body of Christ. One of these days, he's going to take that body out. It's called the rapture of the church, the catching away. It's our blessed hope. It's mine. If you watched the video and gave up your blessed hope, I'm sorry. I'm still going. I'm leaving.
Amen.
So bless God, we're going through the tribulation. Why don't you tell the truth? Why don't you say we're going 3 months in and die?
That's right.
It's really very optimistic of you to think you would go through the tribulation. How do you do with a 3-day power outage? Blizzard comes through and knocks out the power lines after 4 days. Everybody's ready to kill each other. You're going to go 7 years? I don't think so. Anyway, so church's going to leave. And you know what the Lord's going to do? He's going to pick right up with fulfilling the promise he made to Israel. But it doesn't look like it because there's a beast trying to exterminate them. There's poison water. There's poison air. All the trees are on fire and dying. The fish are dying. People are killing each other. Look, come on. Two-thirds, maybe three-fourths, maybe seven-eighths of the population of the world is going to die in 7 years.
Yeah.
So here's what happens. They send word from Jairus' house and they say, tell Jesus it's too late. Tell him what he promised he would do for Jairus. He waited too long and he can't do it. You know what all this modern theology is? This replacement theology and this God's done with Israel and the church is taking Israel. You know what that is? It's people saying, no, I looked around the conditions of the world. It's too late. God couldn't keep the promises he made to Israel because look at the UN, look at the Muslims, look at the United States, look at all these. He's just done.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe.
Yeah.
I'll keep my promise.
Amen.
I'll do what I said.
Amen.
And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth, look what happens. By the time Jesus gets to the place where he's going to help this Jew, he seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. They are in tribulation. There is weeping, there is wailing, there is death, there is sorrow, there is hopelessness. And yet, Jesus comes.
Amen.
Just like he said he would.
Yes, amen.
And the Bible says in verse 39, when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth.
Good.
Well, it looked to them like she was dead. It looked to her like she was dead. It looked to her daddy like she was dead. The only person who said there's more here than death was Jesus.
Amen.
Because if he's on the scene, it's as easy for him to raise the dead, well, easier than it is for you to get your sleeping teenager up in the morning.
Amen.
Amen. And they laughed him to scorn. Now, listen. Here's the picture you have here. This nation of Israel, by the time the church is raptured and the great tribulation begins, the majority of them will have lost all faith and they will laugh at the very idea of a Messiah rescuing them. And yet there he is. And so what does he do? But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entereth in where the damsel was lying. You know what happened? There is a multitude thronging him. By the time he gets to the house, it's a small crowd. But among that crowd are those who do not believe he is going to do what he said he would do.
Yeah.
And he puts them out.
That's right.
I know some of you new Christians. You know what the Bible teaches? Jesus Christ is going to come back to this earth. Literal, bodily, second coming of Christ to this earth to become the King of the Jews, to rule and reign at Jerusalem. And there will be Jews who survive the Antichrist. There will be Jews who escape the mark of the beast. There will be Jews who live through the great tribulation who will be put out of Christ's kingdom when he comes back because they didn't believe on him. That's what you have pictured right there. So what happens? He took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. You know how much faith that little girl had? None. Now that woman, she had to have faith. To be saved, you've got to put your faith in Jesus Christ.
Right.
But if this Jairus and his daughter, if they picture the nation of Israel, Jesus Christ is going to restore that nation whether anybody on earth believes it or not.
Yeah.
He's going to do it because he said he would.
Amen.
He's going to fulfill his promises.
That's right.
So that girl, she's lying there dead. That's not faith. That's not trust. That's not hope. And he raises her from the dead because he said to Jairus before he dealt with that woman, he said, I'm going to come to your house and take care of your daughter.
Yeah. Amen.
So Jesus Christ makes all these promises in the Old Testament. I am going to restore Israel. They're going to be the head of the nations. They're going to dwell in their land. They're going to dwell safely. David will be their king, and their prince, and I'll be their king. And then here comes this church age, and everybody says, well, the Lord's all done with Israel. And when he comes back, so the Son of Man find faith on the earth?
Yeah.
Not much, if any. But because he promised Jairus, when I get to your house, I'm going to raise your daughter. He raised the daughter, even though she's at a point now where she can't believe.
Yeah.
The church in Israel, not the same.
That's right.
And you got a picture of that right here. And so the Bible says in verse number 42, they were astonished with great astonishment. I know there's nations that get through the tribulation because there's a judgment nation, Matthew 25.
Yeah, that's right.
They'll be astonished when Jesus gets back. Don't you think that nation of Israel that allowed a false Christ to set up an image in their temple, don't you think they're going to be astonished when his feet stand that day on the Mount of Olives?
Yeah.
Look, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if Catholicism doesn't believe it, if Protestantism doesn't believe it, if Islam doesn't believe it, if the United Nations doesn't believe it. Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth, and he's going to fulfill every promise he made to the nation of Israel, whether Israel believes it or not.
Amen. That's right.
That's what he's going to do.
Yep.
So your Bible's like this. You've got these ladies, women, all through the Bible. Here's the story of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in Genesis. And right in the middle of it, here's Tamar. You got this story of the Exodus and on the way to the promised land. And right in the middle of it, you got the story of Rahab the harlot. You got this story of Samuel and David and the kings. And right in the middle of it, it's this Moabite woman, Ruth. Here's all this history of Chaldeans and Babylonians and all this, Ezra and Nehemiah, and all, right in the middle of it is this girl, Esther. Mm-hmm. A book where God's never mentioned, and he's preserving his people from Gentile destruction.
Yeah.
Every time in your Bible, the story of the Jew is interrupted by the story of a woman who doesn't seem to fit, it's the church.
Yeah.
It's a picture of the church.
Amen.
You know what we are? We're just an insertion into the narrative. Mm-hmm. And we're here, we're saved by grace through faith, and then we disappear, and God gets on with the story.
Yeah.
I like the part I have in the Bible.
Amen.
I like that place. Amen. All right, two passages, and we'll wrap up and show you how this thing ends. Here's your future. Are you saved tonight?
Amen.
All right, here's your future. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's go there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is that woman. She came by faith. Something happened on the inside. She was made whole. As she starts this relationship with the Lord, his virtue goes into her. Then she disappears. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, because we got enough of them. we don't need any more ignorant brethren. Concerning them which are asleep, that you saw or not, even as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and we're baptized and catechized and join the church and give our tithes and support mission, I added all that. Mm-hmm. Those are all things you'll do if you get saved, we hope.
Right. Yes.
But it's not how you get saved.
That's right.
If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
Amen.
We jump into the picture seemingly from out of nowhere, and just as quick as we came, we disappear. Mm-hmm. We're gone.
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's called a rapture.
Yes.
It's called the catching away. It's our hope.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, Mark 5:43 said this. He charged them straightly, no man should know it. This is Jairus and the house. And commanded that something should be given her to eat. She doesn't disappear. Jesus stays for dinner in her house. Come to Ezekiel. Come to Ezekiel chapter 37, I hope. Ezekiel 37, yes. So this is the future of Jairus' family. This is the future of the Jew, the Hebrew, the Israelite. Ezekiel 37, 1. The hand of the Lord is upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley that was full of bones. And caused me to pass by them round about. Behold, they were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Now stop for a minute. Look up here just for a minute. If God ever asks you a question, any question, I'm going to show you the right answer. No matter what the question is, this is the right answer. Verse 3, and I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. It's like, what are you asking me for? You're God. And he said to me, prophesy upon these bones. Now, doesn't that seem about crazy?
Yeah.
Preach to bones. That's what he said. And saying to them, oh, ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. It's almost funny. God, he's like acting like a crazy man out there. He's preaching to a field full of bones. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Anybody here remember the Amplified version? Hardly anybody remembers Amplified anymore. They put out this Bible. It was gigantic. And it was, in theory, it was every possible Greek word they put in a verse. Like John 3:16 was this long. It's crazy. So I'm going to read you this from the Amplified version. Verse 7, bone to his bone, the ankle bone connected to the shin bone connected to the knee bone connected to the thigh bone. It's not in the King James, but most of you, anyway. Verse 8, when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Yeah. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel.
Amen.
Now listen to what I'm saying. Your promise is not to go into a piece of land somewhere.
Right.
It's to leave this earth and go be with Christ.
Yeah.
But Israel's promise is to come up out of their graves and live on this earth on a piece of land. That's Mark 5.
Yeah.
That's Jairus and his daughter eating with Jesus in the house. Look at the next statement. He says, ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. Look, come on. You just read 1 Thessalonians. If you don't know the Lord, you're not going in the rapture.
That's right. That's right.
But these Israelites don't know the Lord until he resurrects them.
Yeah, that's right.
One is a covenant promise made to a nation.
Right. Yes.
The other is an offer of salvation made to individuals.
Amen.
There you go.
Now, don't you think it's remarkable that this guy named Mark had such a grasp of the entire Bible, a third of which hadn't been written yet, that he could lay out these two miracles and show you the entire dealing of God with the Jew and with the church and get it right before the doctrines were penned? I think the Lord wrote this book.
Amen. That's right.
I think he used men to record the words, but I think it's the word of God.
Amen.
And so he says in verse number 13, ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. So what's your hope? Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and you'll be caught up out of this world to spend eternity with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What's the hope of Israel as a nation? That the land God promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will be theirs in perpetuity, but not until after all hope is gone, they appear completely dead, the church age has run its course, weeping and lamentation and sorrow fill their houses, and then Jesus comes, and they'd right. forgotten all about the hope that God gave them. But in spite of that, he keeps his word, raises them from the dead, establishes them in their land. Hallelujah.
Yeah, amen.
It's a great book you got.
Yeah. Amen.
And it all fits together perfectly.
Amen.
And if you get one part wrong, it's a domino effect. You get all these other parts wrong. If you think Israel's the church, you end up with priests instead of preachers. You end up offering sacrifices to get saved instead of offering spiritual sacrifices, thanking God for saving. You understand? All this religion you see out here, it's the dominoes falling from getting this wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Israel, church, Israel.
Yeah.
And everything God promised you, he'll do it.
Amen.
Everything God promised them, he'll do it.
Amen.
In his order, in his time.
Amen.
Praise God. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, Jesus Christ died for your sins.
That's right.
He was buried, and the third day he rose from the dead. And if you will come to him with whatever faith you have and whatever understanding you have, he will take you on those terms. You say, well, I just don't think I could live it. You won't be able to live it until you get saved.
Yeah.
Well, I just don't understand it. You won't understand it until you get saved. Well, I just don't really know the Lord. You won't know the Lord until you get saved. That's that woman.
Yeah.
All the things religion says you have to do to get saved happened after she came to Jesus. They weren't requirements to come to Jesus. So if you're not saved, bring whatever understanding you have, bring whatever knowledge you have, and just come and touch the hem of his garment. You say, where's that in the Bible? Okay, come to an altar. Say a sinner's prayer. I'm so tired of fighting with people over the five steps you have to take because you took those five steps. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast
Amen.
Out. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Just come to Jesus and say, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to die without you.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
And he'll meet you right there.
Amen.
He'll meet you right there. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, the blessed Holy Bible. Lord, thank you for authoring a book that dazzles us after all these years. It still amazes us how you put this book together. Help us, Lord, not to be led astray by every wind of doctrine that's blowing around these days,
yeah.
but to stay true to the things that have always been so. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Pastor.
Would you stand as we give an invitation?